All right. I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Good to be with you all here again. And just remember those who can't be with us this morning. A lot of sickness and things going on all around us. So let's pray for them. Pray for the wedding coming up this weekend. Pray for each other. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning and we thank you, Father, for your goodness and for your mercy. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon us this morning, this time together. Lord, we just ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom. Help us to do your will and bring glory to you. Again, we just thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Check something here. Sure, everything's working right. All right. To extend greetings to you this morning. let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Begin in chapter 8, verse 8. I'm just going to begin in verse 1. We'll read some. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and in the offering for his Son, he condemned sin in the flesh. So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in this flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your immortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption, as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifieth our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so we may also be glorified with him. Okay, I want to read here this one verse, a couple of verses again. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. This whole chapter is talking about living in the flesh, and I wanted to bring out that we have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear. And that's one of the things I wanted to point out this morning. It went with what Brother Floyd brought out in Philippians. He read that, rejoice in God always. Again, and I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. All these verses that we read about the spirit and the flesh. What I want to point out this morning is that a lot of times whenever we think of the flesh, there's things we think about, but fear is often not one of them. You know, when we think of the flesh, we think of anger or hatred or lust or some of those things, but what we don't think about usually is the flesh, or there is fear. That's not one of the things that we associate. In Revelation, it talks about, it says the fearful and unbelieving, and then it lists the abominable and murderers, whoremongers and sorcerers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake. You know, it just tells about these horrible things, but one of the things it starts out with is the fearful and the unbelieving. And what that basically is what Romans 8 was talking about whenever it was talking about living after the flesh. All those other things are things that we think is extreme examples of that. But just being fearful and unbelieving is as fleshly as it gets. It's just as fleshly as any other thing out there. But we somehow seem to think that it's not as bad as those other things. But being afraid or being fearful is not associated with the Spirit of God. It just doesn't belong there. Like I said, we often put it into a little bit of a different category, or it seems to, but I think the Bible says you're either of the Spirit of God or you're of the spirit of the flesh or the spirit of the world. You can't serve two masters. And the very first verse is, we're not under condemnation. It talks about having him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And that is our goal. Whenever it talks about our minds dwelling on the right things, the things of the flesh, we have the list of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, kindness, and all those things, the good things that God would have us dwell on. And we think, well, what good does it do to dwell on those things? It's because we're dwelling on them, not because we're just hoping for something better, but it's because that's what we're trying to manifest in our life. That's the Spirit of God. What greater thing could we dwell on than those things that are of the Spirit of God? Love, joy, peace. You know, when we think about peace, we often just kind of, it's another one of those things we just overlook. You know, peace and joy. Well, that's not important. That's not a godly thing. You know, we think about doing something and really being powerful to be godly. But how much more powerful? What is more powerful than peace? That nobody can disturb your peace. The strongest man in the world, the most powerful man in the world, and he can't bother your peace. Who is proving to be the strongest, the biggest, the greatest? Just having peace and rest. Those things are mighty things in the army of God. But they're often so overlooked, or just they just don't seem that important to us. But those are the very foundations of the things that keep us strong. It's not, you know, we should read our Bible, we should pray, we should do all of those things. But peace, rest, faith, trust, those are the things that will get us through this life. It'll get us out of here into the realm of God. And, you know, we need some of those other things. They're just tools. They're just building blocks. They're just helps along the way to get us to love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, kindness. Those are the powerful things of God that will actually get us where we want to go. We live in a world where fear is not just the normal way of life, but it is promoted. You know, it wasn't just a few years ago, several years back, that one of the presidents told, whenever there was a nuclear crisis, Kennedy, he said, "There's nothing to fear but fear itself." In other words, there was a time in this country where even the president, the whole general tone, there was a fearful time going on, and he came on and actually tried to calm the fear instead of fan the flames of fear like goes on today. There was a time he was just trying to exhibit, there was enough godliness here, there was enough respect for God and just a general semblance that there was a God that carried throughout the whole nation. When he said there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And that's just such a true statement that Floyd brought out, that just making decisions, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. Let's just wait for a little while. You know, people who make decisions in fear usually wind up making foolish decisions. The spirit of fear is not a time to make wise decisions. The Bible talks about God has not given us the spirit of fear, but that of a sound mind. You know what that's saying? Whenever you have the spirit of fear, you're not of a sound mind. It just does not happen. God hasn't given us that spirit of fear. And how many decisions are made in rash fear instead of just getting yourself under control and making judgments with a sound mind? That's what God's desire is for this world, is a sound mind. And we see so little of it today. So little of it. And one of the main reasons is because people are scared. They're afraid. They're fearful. That's why you can't reason with people. Some of these people, they're just taught all their life that they're a victim. And so they come up with another spirit, and that's a spirit of anger. And what I want to bring out is how the same spirit, the spirit of anger. We see those people that are led by the spirit of anger. You can't reason with them. And it has the same effect as the spirit of fear. You know, whenever our mind isn't controlled by the spirit of God and having a sound mind, it's controlled by something else. And we talked about the spirit of anger When people are mad, they're holding on to something, they won't forgive, they have bitterness in their heart, they don't have a sound mind. You can't reason with them, you can't talk with them until they get control of their mind, and then they begin to open up and you can have some of that sound mind come back to where they can make a right decision. Whenever our minds are not after the spirit, but after the flesh, the decisions that we are making are going to be bad ones. And the thing about it is what I'm trying to show is that the spirit of fear is no different than the spirit of anger whenever we're making decisions. Whenever people have the spirit of greed or the spirit of lust or any of those things that we would despise or we would hate or that we would avoid, they're making the same kind of decisions without the spirit of a sound mind, just like we do with fear. We have the same, it's a different flavor, but it's all got the same root. It's of a mind that is of the flesh, not a mind of the Spirit of God. Whenever we see the world today and all the things, these young people that are so confused, that are so, their minds are not of sound judgment. They're not of a sound mind because their minds are after the flesh. They're after the spirit of this world. And that in itself produces a mind that is not sound. One of the best things that the church could offer and hold out is a mind that is at rest, a mind that is at peace, that a mind that is of a sound mind. Just, you don't have to just be out there yelling at somebody, being in somebody's face. Just having a calm mind, just having peace. The countenance of peace. You know, one of the things that was upon Jesus had the countenance of peace upon him. The world don't understand that, and they desperately need it. They're afraid of it. They have fear because their life is motivated by fear. They're scared. And it, like I said, any time that you're controlled by that spirit of fear, you're not of a sound mind. That's not a time to make wise decisions. One of the things I appreciate that Floyd brought out is just, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. And we can worry about what might happen in the future and be afraid about it, but when it gets there, we won't be prepared for it. That's something I can promise you. If you let fear control something that's about to happen to you or something you think that is going to happen to you, if you allow that fear to grow, you won't be ready for anything that comes your way that you would have to make a serious decision about. But instead of being fearful for the future, you trust that God has the future in His hands. And you can rest in God. You can have faith that God is in control of every situation. And you can get some peace and rest. Then whenever you get to that time that might be bad, you can walk right through it. But if you go into it all afraid and scared to death and full of fear because you've allowed the flesh to take over your mind, you'll fail. You'll mess it all up. But if you can go into it trusting God, knowing that He holds all things in His hand, He holds the future. I had a message a while back that worrying about the future is none of your business. That's God's business. You need to take care of right now, not worrying about what's going to happen in the future, but take that same energy that you're spending being afraid and put it in trust in the Lord. Get that transferred. See, and it's not, this is the difference between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. It just, it seems like such a little thing, but it is a big thing. It's a huge thing. It's the difference between life and death spiritually. It is godliness. You know, like I said, we see people, oh, they just look so holy sometimes. But, you know, a lot of times appearances are deceitful. We see someone that just is so strict and so, and they're just operating because they're scared to death. That's why it's hard for people just to see someone that just lives and follows the Lord. And they're not under this law or these rules that's just hovering over them for their own protection. Because they're scared to death to just live. They're scared to death just to trust the Lord. They're scared to death just to recklessly abandon themselves into the hands of God. And so they manifest that by a strict religion. They try to live within all these rules and guidelines because they think they're trusting God by obeying these things, when really they're just fearful and unbelieving and untrusting. God has all this in His hands. God has the future in His hands. And God wants us just to be in His hands. Trusting in the Lord is godliness. Fearfulness is ungodliness, just as much as someone out living it up in the world. We think that's fleshly. But whenever we're not trusting God, we're just as much fleshly as anybody else. We've just got a different tone to it, and it looks a lot better because ours may look religious. But they that live after the flesh, the Bible says they'll die. But they that live after the Spirit shall live. The fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, the whoremonger, the liar, all of those things, they go together. Living after the Spirit of God is a whole different realm. It's full of love, joy, peace. And when you have that love, joy, and peace, you can have long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. You can have all the stuff where it reflects. You see, it's great, the greatest love is to love God with all your heart, and then your neighbor as yourself. When you have love, joy, and peace, then you can reflect the long-suffering, gentleness, and kindness. And it's just the manifestation of having the Spirit of God. So, appreciated these verses in Philippians again. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Always isn't quite good enough. He says it again and again. I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, if we have this but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. You know, there's nothing that's easier to accept than someone who has a thankful heart, that's grateful. Then let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What more would we need for godliness than the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehensions, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus? You want to defend yourself against evil? You want to defend yourself against all the attacks that the world has to offer? Whichever angle they come in, whether fear, lust, anger, any of those things. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Be of the Spirit of God. That's His Spirit. That's what He's trying to do in you. May God add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
You said about the seriousness of fear that we tend to think isn't that serious. It made me think of Jesus' words with for all those things do the Gentiles seek. He said, wasn't He saying that that's just like the furthest out sinners you can think of?
Exactly.
Worry about tomorrow.
I mean, it's like having children. And you know what you're going to do, the decision you've made. Or you know some surprise that you're going to have for them or something. Maybe you have supper ready and they don't see that you've got supper ready. And they're worried about what to eat. Or just some situation like that where you know what's going on and they don't. And you see them all anxious and getting afraid or getting scared or getting angry or some kind of attitude that they're having because they don't understand what you do. Just a simple example of you've got it under control and they don't trust you with it. And it's just, we can see that level of they just don't know what's going on and it'll be all right. But they're crying or anxious or scared about something's going to happen, a thunderstorm. You know, we see them and they're afraid and they're scared. And we know what thunder doesn't hurt anything. And you're trying to tell them, but they just don't want to listen. They'd rather throw a tantrum or have a fit, be afraid. Just the comparison of how we know something and they won't trust, and how much greater that is on God's level. And we tell them something's hot, and we know it'll burn them, but they just don't pay any attention. Just some little thing like that. All right, well, God bless y'all. We'll meet back at 6:00, Lord willing. God be with you.
Brother Mike's assignment for this week was to bring something that you can do to become a better friend. And I think if a friend of yours or someone you know is going through trouble, being a good friend is just going out of your way to help them and not just going on with your daily life and thinking they'll get through it by themselves. Just do whatever you can to help them.
One thing I thought about, when I look at thinking about a good friend, I think about someone that can relate to me and come down to my level and not be like above, like you're too low for me. And I need to work at that too. Sometimes I'm like, no, that'll never work. No, that won't work. But I need to just be able to think with them and not try to be above them.
I think an important thing to learn when you're trying to be a good friend to someone is when to be serious and when not to be serious. Picking on people it makes people close. It's really good, or it's fun, it's great, and just joking around, giving each other a hard time. And then there are times when you need to realize that they do need you, and you know that's a good thing to learn, when to joke around and when to be serious.
Being a good friend is to, I think, to humble yourself and help them and not be so proud that you can't help them. You need to not just go do your own thing. You need to help them when they're struggling.
I think being a good friend is to have a really good attitude with others, even when things aren't going how you want them to go.
I think being a good friend would be to be faithful.
When I think of a good friend, I think of someone that's been there for me through the good times and the bad times. The hard times when you need somebody there, just somebody there for the support, and the good times, don't necessarily need them, but they're still there. They're just steady. They're always there through every hard time and good time. When I actually heard the assignment, the first time I heard it, the first thing I thought of was the verse in the Bible that said, "A friend loveth at all times, but a brother is born of generosity."
Some things I think that makes a good friend is somebody who is able to hold you accountable. Somebody that you can go to for advice. And kind of like Chet said, be there not only for the good times, but also in the bad times.
Good morning. God bless you all this morning. It's a blessing to be alive again and have the opportunity to meet together with brethren and just be friends with each other as we walk through this life. I'll open your Bibles to Philippians. I have a few thoughts. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 6. 6 through 14. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content and know how to be abased and know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." I'll just start in there in verse 6. Just says, be anxious for nothing. It's just a really just a peaceful thought, a restful thought, if you think of somebody that just is anxious for nothing, that just things come, life's waves come, and they just take it in stride and just bring it to the Lord and just, you know, we'll get through this. It's going to be okay. It's just, you know, a goal of mine to be able to be a person like that. It's just anxious for nothing and just brings things to the Lord instead of getting all wound up about it and worried and start thinking where it's going to lead and what's going to happen. And just let things happen. Let things work themselves out. Sometimes we try to make a situation have a certain outcome, and often I've realized with my own life, there's things that my wife will say, well, what about this? What are we going to do? And I'll just say, well, we're just going to have to wait for it to come to make a decision. We don't have to make a decision yet. And often, by the time that you have to make the decision, it's obvious which one you're going to do. It's obvious. The answer's obvious often the closer you get to actually having to make a decision. And then going down, wanted to point out in verse 11, it says, For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And that's basically goes right along with not being anxious for anything. Paul says that he knows how to abound and to be abased, and he can take all those things. He can be full and he can be hungry, and he doesn't let it change what he believes or how he acts toward other people, he probably struggled, you know, being hungry. He probably wasn't just thanking the Lord that he couldn't eat, but he was going through it with the same attitude that he was being full. And it's just a real blessing to see these examples of people that were able to overcome this world and overcome their situations. Just a blessing for us to be able to see that and see that there's a way that we can be. Shows us the attitude that we can have, you know, if we choose to. That's all I had. Anybody have any thoughts or prayer requests this morning? Jason's dad, cancer's getting worse.
And Brianna.
And Brianna, too. How's she doing by now? She getting better yet?
I don't know. She's at
home. She's at home, okay. The Russells, too. Kind of down right now. All right, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you can be our Father, and thank you that we can look to you. We ask for these requests. We ask for Brother Jason's dad, and just pray that you would give Jason wisdom, and pray for his dad too, that he might just look to you and this would help him to open his eyes to you, Lord. Pray too for the ones that are sick, can't be here this morning. Think of Brian and Brianna. And you bless them with health and help them to get well, we pray. And too for the Russells, bless them. Thank you for this brotherhood here that we have that we can share and in our good times and our bad times. In Jesus' name, amen.
Then we